Blog Talk Radio.
Are you there, brother? Good evening, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Wow, we're excited to be with you this evening here on Blog Talk Radio. What an exciting time this is for us to be here together. It's been about a year since we've been here with you, and we're hoping that you can hear us. I'm waiting on my brother to be able to come on live with us as well, and I'm not able to hear him either. It is the one and the only Apostle Jeremy Scott Gibbs. He's on with me tonight, so I'm trying to work through these things and make sure that we are all a go here. So just give me a second. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to unmute myself on this other thing and see. I just want to double check. Yeah, I can hear myself here. Okay, that's fine. But I wouldn't be able to hear myself on the other thing. Brother, send me your number real quick. I'm going to call you from inside of the room. Folks, give us a couple of seconds. We're just having some technical difficulties is what we're having this evening. But we're going to get you situated here in just a moment. All right? We're going to put you on hold just for a moment, folks. Thank you so much again for being with us tonight. We're looking forward to the conversation. Hold tight.
I can hear you now.
How about that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Awesome. Here we were having a couple of difficulties there, but it's okay. We're accustomed.
Well, I was using my thing. I don't know, was it that link not supposed to be used on your phone?
I'm not sure.
It connected and it said it was all set up.
It did. So I don't see what the problem was. So we're here now.
Right.
We are here now. Yep, yep, yep. And I'm sure they can all hear us. They're coming on in. We're excited to be back. We are excited to be back. Tonight we're going to talk about consecration. I think this is a really important topic to talk about because so many people get so many things confused. You know, it's like a one-size-fits-all definition for everything spiritual. So, we want to kind of clear up some things about consecration tonight. But the topic tonight is consecration, the road to wonders. This is the conversation for the next 20, well, it's not 20 days anymore. It's actually 18 more days or 17 more days. It's a 21-day consecration. And so we're going to do some defining of some things. We're going to talk about some things. Intercession is going to begin Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk. You guys have the number. Share that information with those that you love. Understand, this is a time for us to gather. And the Bible declares that we should be gathering even more so as we see the end drawing near. And if you don't see the end drawing near at this point, then you're going to need some new lenses to view through, okay? Just going to give you that heads up. You're going to need to get your eyes checked and get you some new lenses because we are in a real place and we're in a real time. And this is the time for suns to actually rise and to shine. Understand that those places of darkness are platforms for manifesting ones to do and to become and to show what they've become to everybody that's watching, to all eyes that would see it. And so this is our time to shine. It really is. We know that the Father has already demonstrated what we're supposed to do in dark times, and that's to begin to speak. And so we want to start giving you some conversation around this manifestation called consecration that's going to bring us into the divine places of destination that the Father is actually calling us to as sons. And I was not trying to rhyme, but I am a writer. And I'm in writing mode, and I'm in the studio and all that. So right now, things are just going to seem like they're rhyming a little bit more than usual. But it's okay, because you're going to get the message. You're going to get the message. My brother, Apostle Jeremy Scott Gibbs, is on, and I missed him. This is what we do, so we're always excited to be here together. Apostle, say something to the people tonight, bro.
Well, I'll just say hello, and it's a pleasure to be back on. Starting the new year, hopefully we started off right. In the right direction, being led by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. It's going to be amazing. Do you mind leading us in prayer tonight, Apostle?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I do not mind.
Absolutely.
Father, we thank you and give you praise and honor for what you're doing in this time, Lord. We're going to delve into consecration. We ask that you guide our lips and our understanding and open us up to realize what that entails and what that really means. Lord, help us always to be led of your Spirit, directed by your love, and open to how you would change our minds and bring us into deeper revelation, but also into a deeper love. So, Lord, we thank you for this new year that's coming up. It's an opportunity. Just because the calendar changed doesn't always mean something, but when we see something in the natural, it can be significant. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us at this time to look forward. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the times that we're moving in. When we see opposition, it strengthens us. When we don't have resistance, we don't get strengthened. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I thank you for this time. And I ask you to help each and every one of us to get strong, get stronger, and to move forward in what you've called us to in the midst of the resistance. And so we thank you for that, Lord, and we give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, you hit that nail on the head, brother, because we have not talked about it that came across to me right before I had logged on. the Father began to talk to me about dealing with the mind of the matter. That's the key to the consecration. Dealing with the mind is the key to the consecration. And you just prayed right into that, you know. Help us with our minds, deal with our minds so that we can wrap our heads around what you're saying. Because a lot of times what we have is preconceived information. It's third party. We don't really have firsthand knowledge of what we're hearing or what we're trying to do sometimes. And so that can kind of really fog things up. I remember in years, there have been years past, and we've all heard this, that, you know, whenever you hear the word consecration, you automatically assume that that means a fast. It does not. That
right.
is not the same. Those are two separate things. Now, it doesn't mean that in the consecration that you're being called to, that he may not ask you to come into some place of fasting. I mean, he could do that. He's the Father. You know what I'm saying? But he does give
right.
instructions as to how the consecration is to be carried out. But a consecration and a fast are two different things, and you'll find that across the board. When you're dealing with church stuff, you'll notice that when people call a consecration, they automatically say that it's a fast, and that those two things are not necessarily synonymous.
Right.
Yeah, so we want to kind of deal with that tonight. 21. We're in 2021. How about
yeah.
that on the Gregorian calendar? And that 21 is the denoting of a triple of sevens. I had never thought about that until just now. Triple sevens. And sevens is completion. This can be good, right? Because we know that seven
yep.
is one of the Father's favorite numbers. It's completion, right? It's a depiction of the end of a thing. Right? But
yes.
it's also a
yep.
depiction of the beginning of something. So it's also it's an exciting time, because at the end of a thing, that's the thing that is in opposition to the beginning of something new. Okay? So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. I mean, you know, for me, it's not the new year on the Hebrew calendar until March, April. Right, which is 5781. But I love how a lot of these things are kind of, they're kind of synonymous. Now, 21, by the way, also,
mm-hmm.
if we're thinking along the lines of biblical prophecy, we can go back to the book of Daniel, right? And we can identify in Daniel chapter 10 with the fact that the prince of Persia delayed the message of Daniel for 21 days.
Right.
It's a lot going on in this year. It really is. It's a lot going
yep.
on. But we're going to delve into some things, and we're going to talk about consecration. And the very first thing is this mindset. Apostle Jeremy and I often, you know, it's like something was holding on to my tongue, loose my tongue. Often discuss the mind, but a lot of people don't understand that the mind is that place. It's that place that produces the imagery, and once the imagery is produced, then the manifestation of that thing happens. So that mindset is the priority for production, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know that the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and that faith is also a substance. But the thing that people negate is that fear also comes by hearing, and it is also the opposite substance. It's a substance creator as well. You know, it also creates
yeah.
a substance. So we have to be very mindful. Go ahead, Apostle. I knew you were going to jump on that.
Well, just what you started to say always triggers me, of course, with when we talk about the mind, is that most people don't realize this. We've discussed this for a long time, but because we don't study, I mean, we're dealing with the word consecration right now, and I'm even
mm-hmm.
looking it up to refresh myself, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
Hebrew of
mm-hmm.
what consecration means. But
mm-hmm.
I think of the word repentance, and people don't really understand what that means,
wow.
but it simply means to change your mind.
Yeah.
Or to think differently, and it has really nothing to do with sorrow. Now, we can feel bad about something, but if we don't make a conscious effort to change our mind, then, you know, Paul writes about that in
yeah.
Hebrews, or in Hebrews. In 2 Corinthians, when he said, he said, you know, it repented, or he said, repentance led you to change your mind. He said, there's a sorrow, a godly sorrow and a worldly sorrow. But either way, the point that I was making was, we read one verse in Romans where he says, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Come on.
And we don't tie it into all the multitude of places throughout the New Testament scripture, specifically New Testament scriptures, that say repent, when the essence of repent is the same thing. And
it's
so we understand it's a renewal. It's a constant process of being transformed. We are literally, it's metamorpho. It's the butterfly. It's the caterpillar inside the cocoon. It's the metamorpho. We are transformed from that caterpillar into the butterfly by the renewing of our mind, the newing. We bring in the new information coming in. And so I think, what we're doing tonight is specifically in the area of consecration, but what we're doing is newing the mind. We're renewing the mind into this concept so that we can operate in it fuller, and through that fullness of understanding, we can then be transformed into even more of who God created us to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you start talking about that caterpillar, one of those metamorphosis stages is that when it gets into that cocoon, now when it goes in, it's a full substance. It's a solid piece of matter. But when it enters that cocoon and closes itself, that chrysalis, everything about it becomes liquid. It becomes fluid. You know? Instead of it being this solid mass now, it has to be broken down into a fluid state, so that the newness can take place. And we know that water represents refreshing, that fluidity. And that's the place that the Father's really calling us to, because in order for us to be transformed, we're going to have to leave the solid stuff that we think, that we feel, that we have, you know, beholden to all of these years, or beheld to all of these years, because a lot of that stuff is just not so. It's just not so. And in order for us to really grasp where the Father is taking us, we have to allow him to make us fluid. We have to be willing to go into this metamorphic state that brings us into the newness that he's calling us into. You know, to fight that is to stay in a place. It's to stay. And, you know, it's something that he said to me yesterday. It's coming. It's like almost on, you know, you have something on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah.
And he was beginning to talk to me about how people are so, oh, he was talking about the rich young ruler. Absolutely. This conversation came up because the Father's really calling his sons into this next level of living, okay? And there are many of us whom he's calling into this wealthy place, not after everything is said and done, but right now, even in a famine, even in the pandemic, even in a time where it looks like things are lean, he's calling us into a place where things are green, okay? And the reason that he's doing this is because there is an infiltration that is happening, or infiltrations that are happening in the earth as it pertains to the systems of the world. The sons are getting ready to infiltrate these different areas, these different arenas, these different industries. And the only way we're going to be the effective sons that we need to be, the only way that we're going to be able to manifest and to represent the kingdom in that industry, in that system, within that system, is to infiltrate it. And the way that we'll be able to not be a thumb that's sticking out is because there are going to be some things that we have in common. Now, what's going to set us apart, which is a word, this, when I say set apart, that also goes towards consecration. What consecrates us, or what sets us apart from the rest, is what we're carrying, and what when we're in the environment, when what we're carrying is evident, it cannot be hidden.
Yeah,
it can't be hidden. But the thing that they will not be able to deny is we're on separate playing fields. You know, like when you're going to play basketball, you don't go to the tennis court to play basketball. Well, you know, when you're getting ready to play golf, you don't go to the bowling alley. You know, everything needs to be on its specific playing field in order to be effective as a challenge or contending. And so what the Father's doing is he's bringing his sons into this place of contending with the systems, within those systems. That means we have to be elevated from the places that we've been and the mindsets that we've been under in order to allow the Father to graduate us into the place that he's calling us to so that we can be the light that is necessary in that environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. The floor is open.
Yeah.
See,
I can't physically see you tag me in, but I was waiting.
Right, right.
Sometimes you pause and I
right. Right, I love it.
part of the idea of, I was looking it up in the Hebrew, there's a couple different words. One word was interesting that translates consecration or consecrate. Is actually, it's a different word, and it just means to fill up. It means to be full.
Mm-hmm.
So when it talked about Aaron being anointed as priest and consecrated, it meant that he was filled up. But the normal mindset that we have about consecration is to separate oneself, and that's
right.
one of the main differences is to separate oneself. And so, but when you think about it, it becomes very. We have, just like everybody, we have our mindsets of what it means to separate, and I wonder. This is a rhetorical question. How many of us actually ask the Lord what we're supposed to separate from, and versus us in our own mindset and our own thought processes, saying, "Oh, I'm going to separate myself from this," you know?
Yeah.
And so we end up being self-righteous
Isolated.
And pious and not really putting ourselves in a place. See when you went into the deeper idea of the butterfly. That butterfly is literally setting itself, it's separating itself from the world in order to allow the transformation to be accomplished. And so when we look at it from that standpoint, it puts a different light of separation. Most people look at consecration and separating from a standpoint of, I can't be involved in that. You know, I don't want to be sullied by the world.
Anything. I can't be a part of anything, you know, because I've known people just completely shut themselves down from everything.
Right. Exactly. And so they don't, so to me, a lot of people don't grasp the concept of saying, all right, Lord, what should I separate from? So, Sister Crystal, you know me, I take a lot of supplements and try to, you know, I'm very up on health. Well, just before Thanksgiving and all that, and all the, you know, holidays came up, I actually stopped taking my supplements for about 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe not that long. Maybe it was about 3 or 4 weeks. Anyways, I just stopped taking them and I allow my body to get back to a low again, get back to a, you know, because you can get used to things. That was a form of separation. And I got down to a place where, you know, I felt like, you know, I could feel my energy level was low. I could feel it. So I started taking my supplements again and kicked up my energy level. But the interesting thing was, about a week and a half into it, I felt like I was getting sick. And I said, you know, what is going on? And it took me a day of really feeling achy and sick to realize that my body was readjusting to having what it needed to keep me healthy, and therefore it was healthy enough to kick out all the, you know, a bunch of junk. So I was literally detoxing because I was taking good things into my body. And we don't come at life and things like consecration from that standpoint of, you know what, I may be in the midst of this, and it may produce in me things that don't seem, they seem like the opposite effect. You know, why am I all of a sudden getting sick if I'm taking good things into my body? Well, maybe you've been so toxic that you now need to, now your body is going to purge once it starts getting good stuff. So my whole point on that is, I'm sharing a natural example from my, just something I did recently, and it's not the only time I've ever done it. I've done this a number of times, because you don't want your body to get so accustomed to things.
You become immune to.
You become, just like anything, you can become tolerant to it, and then it's no longer fully effective in you.
Tolerate,
but my point
word,
is
yeah.
is that
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we want to separate ourselves from things that we think are on the surface a negative or a positive, or we view it in a certain way and we go, well, I'm going to separate myself from that. Well, that may be mm-hmm. the one thing that you need to go after. And the only way you're going to know that is...
Ooh, not today, devil. It was just getting good. We ain't doing that today. Not today. He might have gone through a bad area. We're going to get him back in here, folks. No problem. Give us 1 second. We're going to get him back in here. I want him to finish that thought. I don't want to deviate from where he was, saying that the way you're going to know that you need to separate from something is. So just so you guys are aware of where we are. Yeah, we may go to a bad area. Give us 1 second, guys. 1 second. This is really important, and this is why we're having this conversation. Because there he is. It's extra important to realize. You
five,
there, brother?
1-7-6-7-2-2-7-0-3.
That's me. All right, we're going to try one more time. This is really important.
5-1-7-6-7-2-2-7-0.
All right. I'm actually dealing with some things along that line right now, and I want to go back to something that he was stating about the separation while he's getting back in the room. There's a difference between being set apart and separated. As those terms go, when you're thinking of set apart, you can be amongst someone but be different than them. That's a set apart measure. When you're separated from someone, that means that's an opposition. This is an opposition to that. Hold on, he's texting me. So we've got to be clear on these terms, and this is why we're having these conversations, because this is really important. I'm going to call him again. This is really important that we have a location on these terms. Calling him back, folks.
All right.
There
we're
you
back.
Are, brother. Yep. You left off with the way that you'll know you need to be separated from something. And I was just sharing with them the difference between separation and set apart. They sound similar and sometimes can be synonymously discussed, but they are in fact two separate things, you know. But you were talking about the way you need to separate from something is.
Yeah, and that's basically what I was saying was look at it from – you're not going to see things the way that the Lord can. The Lord's the one who has the insight. And so I'm just encouraging everybody out there, don't take it at face value. On the surface, you would go, why would you quit taking your supplements? You know, those are good. Those are, you know, and I could go through the list of supplements that I take. They're, you know, great for what for my body. You know, I've learned to listen to my body, but ultimately listen to the Holy Spirit. Filter what my body's saying through the Holy Spirit. But my point is that on the surface, somebody would go, well, no, you shouldn't stop taking your supplements. That's not a good thing. And then when my body starts to react, then I go, you know, negatively because I started taking my supplements again. There are people, I know most people, a lot of people would stop taking their supplements at that point. You know, or would start taking something else. It's like it's along the lines of a fever. Most people, when they get a fever in modern Western countries, take something to reduce their fever. I don't, and I think you and I've talked about it.
Yes, we have.
When I get a fever of any kind,
of course,
I bundle up. I bundle up and I sweat that thing out. You know why? Because your body is designed by God to handle that temperature. And if you, and I've listened to a number of doctors, homeopathic doctors, who talk about how your body will spike the heat, and it's just hot enough to take out anything negative in your body, but not so hot. Any of those pathogens, it'll knock them right out with that spike of heat. And even talking about this, and I didn't want to go into this a whole lot, but they came out and said the report earlier this year that, you know, what's going to knock out COVID? Well, sunlight.
Yeah.
The heat from the sun. 80 degrees would take it. It's so deadly that 80 degrees will take it out. Well, of course. And so my point is that a lot of times we will say, oh, man, I'm just burning up. Well, bundle up and get the process over, and you'll realize that it's purging your system out. It's you know, a good thing.
It's renewing you. It's renewing you.
Exactly. Now that's in a balance of health. I mean, you got to understand if you're really unhealthy, then, you know, fevers can be bad. And there was obviously scarlet fever, many years ago. So, but in the normal process of things, there are certain things that we do, and for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, we don't realize that we're being counterproductive to something that could be extremely beneficial to us if we would just take a moment and begin to understand it instead of just ripping through it and going, oh, I'm not going to have that. You know, so that's what I'm saying about being consecrated or set apart. It's not as cut and dried as people think it is. And just like you're making the distinction between, you were saying being separate and
set apart.
What are you? Mm-hmm. And set apart.
Separated,
exactly.
And
two different things.
Set apart. Two different things. They sound synonymous,
and so,
though. They sound synonymous.
They do. Right. Right. Well, what does it say? My people perish for lack of knowledge or understanding.
And
it's not that we worship at the tree of knowledge, but we do need to get into a place where we understand, we get a hold of wisdom, and then we understand, and then it becomes a knowledge base. But we've got to move forward in that and really, I just challenge everybody. It's like, you know, challenge your norms, your current mindsets, because your current mindset may be the exact thing that's holding you back from that next deeper revelation and deeper freedom. You know, we don't just get revelation to say, I got this big revelation. Well, whoop-de-doo.
No.
You got a big revelation.
No.
You got a big heart. Has it been revealed within you to love people?
Come on.
Say it again.
Come on. It's something that you're supposed to be doing. The greater the revelation, the greater the responsibility.
Exactly.
That goes along with doing.
Exactly.
With doing and not just knowing. You know, people are treating knowledge like it's just something that you know. No, knowledge is something that you become, you know.
Right.
And people often say that knowledge is power, but knowledge is not power. Activated knowledge is powerful. Because you can know a whole lot of things and never do anything, and there's no powerful position in having head information and your heart not wrapped around, you're not executing, you know.
Right.
That's actually a weakness and not a strength.
Well, and when you go back and you study and really understand the mindset of the Hebrews, they didn't have the same concepts that we had there that we have of knowledge. They looked at knowledge from a street smarts. This is the way I like to term it. They operated street smarts, and they operated from a place of what you just said, and that's activity.
It's practical. It's practical and applied.
It's practical. It's applicable, you know. And I think, you know, I don't remember if I was talking to you or I was talking to somebody else, but my mom, because of the current situations, has been tutoring my grandson. And so I know I had talked to her about that, how much more, you know, she can take in a day, a week. Teach him everything that he would learn in school over the course of a week. Now, some teachers may object to that, but you don't. But I guarantee you, he can do it from one week to the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's not just him. That's the one-on-one time that's the experience thing, because they don't just sit up there and read stuff. You know, they have mom does activities with them, does all sorts of things. My point being is I was talking to somebody about how much we've taken children, we've crammed them into a little classroom, and they don't have the experiential base of learning. They have this book knowledge of learning.
That is the tree of knowledge right there. Because you mentioned the tree of knowledge, Apostle. And the thing is, there are two separate kinds of knowledge. There's two different kinds of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? All of these things, there's a flip side to this. You know, there's the knowledge of God. You know, there's the spirit of knowledge, which comes from him. But then there is the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That's a whole nother concept. There is the wisdom of Yah, and then there's the wisdom of this world, which is earthly and sensual and all of that. You know what I'm saying? And so when Apostle's saying this, he's giving you the raw facts, and you got to identify with what perspective he's speaking from. You know, knowledge across the board is not something that puffs you up, because kingdom knowledge is the spirit of knowledge, and that's where we're operating based on what the Holy Spirit in us is revealing to us, things that we would not know by ourselves. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Things that we would not know by ourselves. So,
And you can, when you encounter somebody that is puffed up by their knowledge, pretty safely assume that they haven't experienced what they're talking about.
That's right.
Now that's just a generalization, but that's pretty safe to say. And when you come across somebody that has a lot of knowledge, but is very humble and honorable about what they've experienced something. You know, it's the type of person that said, well, if that ever happened to me, I know what I would do. Oh, really? Well, meet somebody that it has happened to and watch how different their attitude is. They've got a
It's like the whole concept of when we were children and we didn't like the punishment sometimes that we were given. And we'll say, you know, this is not me personally, but I mean, say people have done this, and we all have different areas where we've made this declaration. Well, when I become an adult, I'm not going to do things that way, or I'm going to do things differently, or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? But growing into that understanding helps us to identify the fact that these boundaries and these different things that are put in place are to bless us and not to break us, you know? So once you come into that knowledge, then you're repeating this thing because it has produced something. You're repeating it because you've seen the production of it, and you understand now that there is a outcome that's only connected to these boundaries or to certain kinds of having discipline and boundaries and that kind of thing. So anything less than that, it means you're going to be an unwalled city, and that means you're going to constantly be under fire, constantly under attack. But once you've been given those measures where you can put boundaries in place and understand what boundaries are, then you can operate from that place and see the blessing that's in the boundaries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boundaries are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the somewhat of the root of what it means to be separate yourself. Can you put up a temporary boundary in an area or in a situation so that it disciplines you and teaches you? You know, that's the last stage. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. Self-discipline is the last thing that we work on. You're going to get power, and that's why most people, when they first get set free by the Lord, are spastic and all over the place and bouncing off the walls, and that's fine. We can all recover. But that's why new believers are so zealous, because
it's new power. It's new power.
And they got the power, but they don't have any love to temper it, and they don't have any discipline to hone it. And so
zeal with no knowledge.
But exactly. You got zeal. Yeah. It's not good to have zeal without a little bit of knowledge to temper you, to slow you down a little bit. Slow your roll. Isn't that what we were saying?
Slow your roll.
But that's the idea there is, you know, being to separate oneself, to be, you know, to have that type of consecration. It's a lot of times the Lord's teaching. He's like, can you abstain from this?
Yes.
You know, Paul talked about how everything is permissible.
Lawful.
Everything.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want, but that doesn't make it beneficial to me. You know,
mm-hmm.
there are only certain things that are beneficial. And when you come at it from a standpoint of benefit, and that's why,
Ooh.
You know, when you take a consecration and you set yourself apart and you go, you know what, at this moment, this may be uncomfortable, or this may be contrary to the way that I'm thinking, or I'm going to abstain from doing something that is good for me in order to do something that is necessary for me to be moved into a place of better grounding, better understanding. I'm separating myself. And if you keep in your mindset in front of you benefit versus
mm-hmm.
detriment, it's
mm-hmm.
a much easier thing because, you know, Paul talked about it when he said, I didn't know what coveting was till the law said, do not covet. And then
mm-hmm.
as soon as I read, do not covet, every covetous desire rose up within me. So sin sprang to life and I died. So when he's talking
mm-hmm.
about when then he goes into that idea of benefit versus the no. Whenever a child
mm-hmm.
hears no,
mm-hmm.
What happens? They want it even more. Well,
mm-hmm.
a lot of things that we do with our grandchildren is redirect them.
Yeah.
We don't shy away from saying no, but that's not the first. That's not the default.
Yeah, that's not
instruction.
The default position. Mm-hmm.
The default position
mm-hmm.
is look over here. Look over
mm-hmm.
there. Check that out. See what that is over there? And
yeah.
so now we've distracted them from something that we didn't want them to get into with
mm-hmm.
something that we want them to get into. Just telling
right.
somebody, no, you shouldn't do that. You know, or, you know, we've all done it. And we've watched our kids and we go, find something to do. Well, if they could have found something to do,
look,
they probably wouldn't be over there bugging
mm-hmm.
you. And messing around.
Find something to do. I don't care what it is. I've heard people say this. I don't care what it is. Why? Excuse me. What do you mean you don't?
If you don't care
what it is, then why?
If you don't care what it is, then why do you care what they just did?
Right. No, it's fine. It's not find something to do. It's here is something to do. That's the
exactly.
adult position. You know. And so when we're talking
exactly.
about the mindset, this is where all of those things take place. And it's when you're talking about that set apart piece. Apostle, that consecration, all consecration is about service. Whether you're being consecrated by someone for a position of service, which you've already mentioned, Aaron and his sons, the Levites, being consecrated,
yep.
there was a specific conversation that was had in a specific pattern that was given a way to do a thing to set them apart, okay? Or, as it were in Joshua, he says, you know, tell the people to consecrate themselves because tomorrow I'm going to
mm-hmm.
do wonders among them. Well, that's something that you're responsible for. You're not being consecrated for an office, but you are being consecrated for a purpose, you know?
Right.
So either way the consecration goes, there are instructions. And that's one of the things, too, that I want to bring up tonight is this whole thing about instructions. The purpose of consecration is to prepare us to deal with the instruction that the Father is going to give us. It's to say consecration is the exact conversation of whatever it is you're wanting to talk about, Father, I'm all ears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what consecration is about. What's the conversation or the dialogue that you want to have? Because I want to be in the position to be able to receive from you what it is you're saying so that I can then turn around and act out whatever it is that you're giving me. Consecration, I put up a bunch of stuff this week and we'll go through them, but consecration actually prepares us for our identity. It's an identity bearer, you know? It shows
yep.
us who we are, who he is. Consecration gives us all of the information that we need within the relationship to define the people and their purposes.
That's good.
So it's not necessarily a fast, although he may call you into a position. So there were people that were like, well, Apostle, are you going to go live? Are you going to go on Facebook? Are you going to have a Zoom? What are you going to do before we do this? And the Father didn't give me anything to do before that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He just said, post a flyer, let them know Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Let them show up, let them be there, and they'll receive what it is that I'm saying. People wanted me to do Facebook. They wanted me to have a free conversation before the conversation, and sometimes that is a thing. But I only do what I'm being instructed to do. I can't do it because someone wants to. Just because it's a want of someone else. I have to do it because
right.
This is what I'm being led to do. Because ultimately, my consecration, which is also a form of constitution as well. So when you think about consecration, you may also think about a constitution. You know, these
mm-hmm.
are the things that are in the body of that conversation that position us a specific way. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is how I'm set up. This is the establishment of something. And so consecration is also a place of establishment. It's a place where covenant is forged. It's a place where covenants are identified. So you
mm-hmm.
will be able to even identify the covenants that you're in with other people through consecration, not just removing yourself from them, but consecration is also not just a separation from, but a separation unto something.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
those are the areas that we really miss it. It's a set apart, but it's a set apart for something.
Right.
You know, all
right.
of these things are really important and they're crucial because we'll just completely miss it. I've had people say, well, I'm going to leave the prayer line because I'm going to go on a consecration. What does that mean? You're in prayer every, I mean, like what? and then they don't return. You know why? Because when they left the body, when they left where we are, where we were doing the thing that we were called to do, now they were convinced of something other than what they were doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to be real careful about separation and what you're separating from. And it's odd that we'll separate from things that are good for us and make ourselves available for things that we don't have no business even being connected to.
Right. And again, it's like I started out with, you know, we're talking about supplements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just said separating from good things. Well, there is a time when you separate from good things, but it's a leading.
Yeah.
It's not
leading.
And I guarantee you, a lot of those people that are like, well, I'm going to separate myself from this for a while. Why? Well, I'm
yeah,
just
who
feeling.
Told
no,
you to do that?
No. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
There's a leading of the
up.
Spirit. You know, that's one of the scriptures that I absolutely love because it's Paul wrote and said, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, those
yeah.
are the
to
sons
him,
of God.
Those are the ones that he's
yeah.
given power. That goes
yeah.
back to that
yeah.
power. Power to become.
Yes.
Power to become. That's a
and
set apart. That's a separating and
yep.
a set apart thing. Yeah.
It's amazing to me that that's the predicate. That's the foundation of what it means to be a son of God is to be led by the Spirit. And so I watch so
yes.
many people, not being led by the Spirit, and yet they have this claim. Well, I know the Lord. Really? You might want to check your leading level. And it's not for me to determine, you know, ultimately whether I think you're being led by the Spirit. But, you know, you can judge a tree by its fruit.
Period.
And if you just see destruction and chaos and you know, continual disappointment, it's pretty safe at that point to go, all right, you know. Plus, if they're under your leadership, you'll have insight by the Spirit of God to know when to help because you don't want to see anybody under your tutelage, under your protection,
yes.
you know, shipwrecked. You want to do your best to, yeah. So,
absolutely, and
yeah.
you know, as we're talking about these things, And I want to go back to the instruction piece, Apostle, because, too much water. This is absolutely important. Yeah, why burp when you get online, right? You couldn't burp before then, but now you're burping. Father was telling me today and yesterday, this is a season about instructions and being available to be led, not just being able to be led, because there are a lot of people that are able to be led, but that's indicative of the climate that we're living in. People are being led into all kinds of things. They're able to be led, but what you make yourself available to be led by determines what you're in covenant with.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to determine what your covenant and what your consecration is and what it's to, you know?
Right.
What's important to you is going to absolutely define what you're connected to and what your priorities are.
Absolutely.
When we look at instructions and being available to be led, there were a couple people that came up. You remember the story about Saul and when they went to go and fight, and Samuel gave him very specific instructions that the Father had given him to give to Saul. One of those instructions was, don't bring anything back. Kill it all. He said, kill everything. And so when he comes back, not only, I believe this is the same in the same instance, not only did you not kill everything, but you also took it upon yourself to do the sacrifice and did not wait on Samuel.
Right. Right. You took what you should have wiped out, should have killed, and then justified it as, well, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord.
What?
And we're going to do it ahead of, you know, we'll do it without the, we're not going to do
gonna
it,
do
we're going to do it aside of.
Consecrated. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, we're going to do it aside from the instruction.
And
you
that's
know,
a
it's that idea of, well, yeah, it's that idea of it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission.
Ooh,
you know,
say that again, Apostle.
It's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. And too many people operate like that. And
myth.
You know what?
That's a myth.
And,
a myth.
And, well, it is. But here's the thing. You know what? Well, I mean, Samson operated that way. Samson operated out of forgiveness. And he did fulfill the prophetic word for his life. But he did it. He didn't do it in the way that the Lord intended. He took out, you know, the Philistines, but he took it out at the end of his life. His life had to end for him to fulfill it because he just kept doing stupid stuff and making a mess of things. And he's a prime example of somebody who was supposed to be consecrated to this. I mean, being with a Nazirite vow, that's a heavy-duty vow. That's not just
good.
That's not lightweight. But,
that's good. And what he refused to see with his eyes open, he identified with no sight.
Right. Right. Well, he finally got consecrated himself. When he got you know, tied to a wheel treading out the grain, he finally got a clue.
Ooh.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I was gonna say this, you know, it's for, along the lines of a lot of people, you know, they're looking, correct me if I'm, well, you know what I'm talking about when I say it.
I got
but
you.
Help,
go ahead.
Help
go,
me explain this.
There. Okay. I got
There's
you.
A lot of people that are doing a lot of spiritual things because they want to look spiritual.
Come on now.
They want to feel spiritual. They want to be in these spiritual, you know, circles of, well, I know, you know what? I've had the Lord tell me he's pleased with me a number of times. And you know what? I was in a private place. I was all alone. And he said, you know, I love you, son, or I'm pleased with you. Or, you know, these were private places. These were intimate moments. These were, and I think a lot of our mindset, or I know a lot of our mindset is in being separated is because we're doing this publicly.
You want to be seen or viewed a certain way. It's about
exactly.
It's about
we're not being consecrated. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We're not going out and being consecrated because the Lord told us to abstain from something within our heart,
mm-hmm.
and it may have
mm-hmm.
an outward expression, but it was something
mm-hmm.
that He said privately. You know, in fact, He said when you Jesus was talking about it, He said when you fast, don't do as the hypocrites do who go around and tell everybody about
mm-hmm.
it. He said, you
wash
go in a
face.
Private place. You
put the oil on your
you
face.
Wash your face. You don't go around mourning like you're. Yeah. And that to me, it's like I really implore people, just be your genuine self. Be your real self.
Be normal.
and if the Lord, be normal. Yeah. And if the Lord's calling you to separate from something, well, separate from that thing. Just you know, do your thing.
Right.
There are times when
right.
the Lord says, you know what, son, don't do that. And I go, all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I fail at it. Sometimes I, you know, get back up. But for the most part, I tend to succeed at that. But
absolutely.
The vast majority of people wouldn't even know what I abstain from on
making,
a regular basis.
You're not making an announcement of that. And the
exactly.
thing about it is that when you're talking about the difference in the appearance of a thing, there are a lot of people, and I gave this word to somebody maybe about 2 years ago, there are a lot of people that would much rather look right than be right, and that's a really dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
No, that is exactly it. They'd rather look right than be right. You know,
yes.
You're exactly
yeah,
right.
Because being
exactly
right,
right
is not being right. Well, you have to understand that being right is a visible. It's visible to other people because it's transferable.
Right.
You know, I've been in,
yeah.
in the company of people that were going through some things, and because I was consecrated. Or set apart, and my life was a presentation of some very specific things in that season. Then, when they came into my presence, they became very repentant. You know,
right?
I mean, like out loud repentant. And I was like, Father, what is this about? You know, and He had to inform
yep.
me, no, it's because of how you're living. That when you come in the environment, even if you're not talking. Is calling people to repentance. And we have to understand that that's the level of consecration that He's really calling His sons into. It's a, like Apostle was saying, it's private. You don't have to say, hey, I'm on consecration or I'm
right.
consecrating. Now, that's not
right.
to say that me putting up the flyer is an announcement. No, that's not the same. I'm saying this is what He's calling us to. And only the sons that are able to hear, He's calling His sons into a place of consecration. That you need, it's the bell ringing. It's like, listen, it's the horn blowing. It's the trumpet
mm-hmm.
sounding. Listen, this is a time to set yourself apart from the thing that you feel like or you know so that you can know because you don't know what you need to know yet. You know, where you are right now is based on what you knew. Where you're going is based on what you're going to know. Do you
right.
understand what I'm saying? And so if you position yourself in what you know now, you'll be settled in this place like Abraham's father, Terah, was. He settled in
mm-hmm.
Haran, and that's where he died. Because understand, the father called Terah first to go to the promise. Terah refused
right.
the promise.
Right.
So he had to deal with Abraham on coming out of that nativity, coming out of that place. To go to this place I'm getting ready to talk to you about. But again, that's a set apart. Now, he did have to actually leave his family. So did the disciples. And when I say leave, they didn't abandon their families because many of the disciples' wives were out on that same road trip with them often. Paul made mention
absolutely.
Of that. You know, so it's not like they just up and abandoned their wives. Clearly, they were businessmen. A lot of them, they had property. They had people in position. They had employees. They had all of these things. And to be quite honest, it's one of the things that qualified them for the call was that they were doing something.
Right.
They're
already in activity.
Listen, I would even be safe to surmise that if you're doing nothing, then you're not fit for discipleship.
Right.
Because you're going to need to
right.
be actively doing something in order to be identified as one that could be called into something else.
If you're not moving, you know,
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say real quick, we have, I just sold one of our cars It was a 1983 Porsche. You remember it? You've ridden in it.
Yes,
with
I remember.
I think we even broke down one day. Didn't we break down one?
And we did a Periscope. Yes, we did.
And we did a Periscope on the side of the road. And you know what? It fired back up and we went down the road. Anyways.
Yep.
I just recently sold that car, and my whole point was that car was manual steering. Now, a lot of people today don't even know what manual steering, you know, they're like, what are you talking about? Manual steering. I steer with my hands. No, literally there's no assist. When you turn the wheel, there's no help to turn that wheel. So this little sports car, if you didn't have it moving, it was much more difficult to turn it. But if it's rolling and moving, it's really easy to turn the wheel because it's already moving. And if you're not moving forward in life, it is much more difficult to turn in a direction and make progress than it is. If you're moving forward, it's easy to change direction. That's not saying you can't turn, but you're just turning in the same spot. If you're not moving, you're just pivoting. Pivoting didn't get you any further. You just changed direction, the direction you were looking at, not the direction you were headed. That's all I want to say about that.
That's good, Apostle. I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact. You have to be in motion. And the word even says the steps, I'm going to repeat it again, the steps of a good man are ordered.
Yes.
That means you need to be doing something. And see how we are reading scripture is in this vacuum. You know what I mean? When across the board, there are specific principles that just keep jumping out at you if you're reading it in its proper context and the content is being revealed to you. It's the same. It's basic principles that are meant to be carried out to produce the greater things. The Father has always used small things. Always used small things. He's the Father of small things. You know, everything begins with a seed. Everything begins with a seed, you know.
Everything begins with a seed.
And so this is the area, and we're going to get into a whole lot of stuff over the next couple of weeks. Again, we're Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the next, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how many. Today is the first day, so it's 4 weeks, I guess. So we're looking at roughly, what's 4 times 6? I can't even think. 4 times 4 is 16. So what? I couldn't think. I'm like,
four times six is 24.
It's 24. Okay, no, but that ain't what I'm trying to say. That's not what I'm trying to say. Because four times three is what I was after. That's why I was struggling. It's 12.
Eight.
So maybe 12 broadcasts. We're going to get into some stuff. Tonight is really about introduction. It's really about just basic conversation and basic definitions of things, because these things are crucial. You know that in a sentence, if you set up a sentence, if one word is changed, it could change the whole dynamic of the sentence.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm dealing with people in this season of my life where they feel like, you know, they can change the words that I'm saying. And I'm like, that's not what I said. That was not my conversation. And you're going to need to show me that where I've said that, because that's not what I said at all. But people, they assume that if you're not compliant with what they want you to do, then this is what you're saying. You ever dealt with people like that? Well, you don't want to do this, so this is what you're saying to me. No, what I'm saying to you is that I'm not doing that.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with this, but we're so far removed, and I'm talking about generations deep. And it's scary because there are generations that are older than me that are so far removed from deductive reasoning that it's crazy to me. You grew up in an era where deductive reason was still being talked about, yet you come into this technological age, know nothing about technology, and are as dumb as a box of rocks.
Right.
That doesn't
you have a wealth of information that you...
I'm trying to tell you, Apostle. It's crazy.
Wealth of information at your fingertips at the click of a button.
Yes.
And you're
and you
as ignorant as they come.
Though, but you have a wealth of experience that you are refraining from tapping into because the spirit of the age is dictating something else. And this is what consecration is. This is why we're being called into this consecrated place. This is why the Father is saying, hey, I'm trying to get your attention because the spirit of the age is it's just permeating everything that's allowing
mm-hmm.
it. If it's standing still long enough, it's being permeated by the spirit of the age. This takes me all the way back to the garden. You know, as long as Eve was standing there, there was a conversation being had. But if she walked off, guess what? Conversation over.
Yep.
And I'm not just talking about walking off in terms of using your feet. Yes, that's the beginning of that. But walking off as in terms of I'm no longer open for this conversation.
Right.
I'm not just moving
right.
my feet, but I'm moving my it's a word that's on the tip of my tongue. I'm moving my interest.
I'm redirecting myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what consecration is about, is a redirection.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so so when we're talking about it, we've got to make sure people are grounded and understand it's simple. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but it's simple. And it's not this religious thing. I mean, it's amazing to me in studying scriptures how much Jesus went after the religious leaders or refuted them, you know. And then we take that message, the leadership of the church in general, that he used mm-hmm. on the religious, we turn that around as somehow the message we should use on everybody. We don't learn from
the heathen. Or the heathen. We want to take it and make it for the
exactly.
heathen.
Exactly.
What we consider the heathen, which is really the people that are churched, that are ignorant of the kingdom and ignorant of the message, you know, in its revelation, you know.
Exactly. So we have this cycle where we're beating people who are just looking out. And I go, Lord, that's not what you intended. He's like, no, I intended, you know, he goes, it's the woman, you know, caught in adultery that we turn and say, no one condemned you. No one condemned you. Then neither do I, you know, but now don't go back to that. Cause obviously, exactly.
Listen.
Go get your husband.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's, but that idea of being set apart, we've got these really jacked up ideas in the church, and we perpetuate them because we think they work. And if we would take a step back and realize they don't work, they're more detrimental. They're not keeping you in the right mindset. They're not helping you become more balanced and more focused on
productive
who God created you to be. And
more productive in your purpose.
Yeah.
It's
you know,
no
it just, it amazes, it continues to amaze me.
It is amazing. And I'm going to tell you something, it's so funny because when I was preparing for the thing, when he said to me, Apostle, post it up. I know we've been doing it for years. He said, post it up. And I said, okay, well, what's the, because I noticed that he had started, and it just dawned on me that he was separating
mm-hmm.
already in the years, in the last several years, the difference between the consecration and the fast. He had already been doing that. I had 40 days of fruit. I had 40 days of 21, you know, all of these different things were all separated. And then there was the consecration. And so I'm not sure if we went on a fast last year. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
I was wondering, like, okay, what are the instructions, Father? He said, there are none. Consecrate yourself. That is the instruction.
Right.
I was like, okay. So that's what we're going to be doing is we're going to be delving into the scripture so you can see these instances where he began to have this conversation about consecrating oneself and the purposes that serve. We kind of talked about it a little bit already, but it's important that we understand that this consecration is crucial right now because there are
mm-hmm.
some things, and we've been prophesying and talking and prophesying and having these conversations, and the things that we've been saying, we're looking at them right now. We're looking in the face of things that have been prophesied 4 and 5 years ago. And people were just like, oh, you know, Apostle Chris was just talking. you know, like it's just a conversation. No, this is not just a conversation. This is a declaration. these are things that he's sharing with his prophet to be able to share with his people. So his people will be ready for the wonders. And this is, you know, indicative of what he says to Joshua, tell the people to consecrate themselves because tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among them. You know,
right.
But you're going to need to wash your clothes first. See, I mean, this is that's practical, Apostle.
Yeah, it is.
He said, consecrate yourself, go wash your clothes.
You know, if the spiritual isn't grounded in the practical, you know, we used to have a phrase for that. We would say they're so spiritually minded, no earthly good. If you're not grounded, you know, it's like, listen, we all use the bathroom, we all got to eat, we all got to do all these things that are straight up natural things.
Listen,
so don't act.
Listen.
Stop.
Don't do it.
You know.
Yeah. Stop it. Knock it off. Knock it off. Okay.
Yeah, knock it off. Knock it off.
Knock it off.
Some of the, I was thinking about some of the people that just, it boggles me, man. I met, there was some people, you know, I play hockey, and so a couple years ago, I met one of the sons of one of the guys I play hockey with, and they came in, and we were at a restaurant after hockey, having dinner, which we do periodically, where you used to be able to do freely, but now we're under Gestapo rules. So, anyways,
Gestapo.
He introduced me, and he said, "Yeah, this is preacher, you know." And I never called myself that. That's how they label, you know. And I said, and I never preached with these guys either. They just knew I, you know, had a church. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And this young man looked at me, and he's like, "Well, where's your cross?" And I went, wow. So I didn't have a cross necklace on, and so that didn't compute in his mindset of what it meant to be, you know, a preacher.
And
so it was one of those little side notes that I put, you know, one of those little experiences that I put in my little knowledge bag, and I pull it every once in a while. I go, there are so many different little mindsets that either people on the looking in have, or people on the inside looking out think they need to have. And I go, you know what? Why don't you find out your authentic self? Don't dress up in a suit because he's wearing a suit. Dress up in a suit because you want to – that's you. You know, that's
come
who
on,
you
then.
Are.
Come on.
And so when you're talking about consecration, it's like it doesn't mean everybody's all of a sudden a one-size-fits-all, we're all going to do this exact thing. No. What is the Lord? What's the Lord saying to you that you need to do? What is he saying to you that you need to not do, you know, in order to be ready for that next step, you know?
Yes.
The next level, the next
how do you pass the test,
right.
In other words, you know what I mean? You have to prepare for that, and in passing the test, and you're graded, and you're moved to the next level of knowledge, or the next responsibility of information that you're then going to actualize or execute by being tested on that, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times we confuse that testing with the warfare, you know, and the warfare,
right.
While we're dealing with the mind, is because that's where the warfare takes place. You may be being tested by the Father. He may cause you to undergo testings, right? But where the warfare begins is how the adversary is dealing with your mind about the test that you're going through. You know, he did that very thing with the master in the wilderness. He was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. This was a test, but because he had a word when he went into the wilderness, that was his deliverance, you know, that was his witness. That word was his witness. It also solidified his identity. So he wasn't challenged in his identity. He wasn't challenged in his information. He kept saying, it is written. Why? Because the adversary was at war with him over the test that he was called into.
Right.
But because he was consecrated, he was in covenant.
Yeah.
The consecration puts you in a covenant that you need to be in. Go ahead, brother.
Absolutely.
And
no, you're good. You said it.
And another thing, right? the consecration puts you in covenant. It also exposes false covenant.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It will.
Yep.
It will, because your instruction that's given to you is specific to carry you into the place that he's calling you to, and anything that's in opposition to those instructions details false covenant.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
It just does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this is where we are. You know, I mean, we've got tons of things to talk about. But one of the other things I want to say before we get off of here is the consecration. I think I shared this already. The dimensions of consecration are what a leader does concerning the authority that's being given to you or placed on you, right? Like Saul and the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
One was already assigned to do the sacrifice, but he goes ahead, but he's not set apart, or he's not called into that position, that someone else's appointment. You know, so when you start talking about authentic self, that goes into
mm-hmm.
that appointment and into that, you know, into those purposes that are necessary to identify so that we are fulfilling the thing that we've been called to fulfill, you know.
Right.
The other dimension is what you're commanded to do, you assuming the position or the responsibility or bearing the responsibility of following the instruction. So that instruction could come either through leadership or it could come directly to you, you know, as to something that you're supposed to be doing. But consecration is a way of life for sons. You know, when you look at the master, that's something that he did often, you know. And you would often hear him saying, you know, I'm getting ready to take off. I'll be back. You know, what is he doing? He's not permanently separating himself from the people that he's discipling, but he's showing them a way of doing something. He's saying, you're going to need private time with the Father. That is the consecrated place. I just happened to be walking away. Now, in the garden, he had several of them with him there, the three that he always had, right? But he was enough away from them for them to hear him. He was close enough to them for them to see him and to hear him. So even though he was yet consecrated in that garden, he was still close to people.
Yeah.
Man.
Exactly.
Man, we're just dealing with misnomers right now, you know.
Good stuff, Apostle and Sister people, Bishop. Good stuff.
Yeah. People are wondering why they're under such fire and why they're under such warfare. Well, if you're disconnected from your companions that would help you fight, it would be like the Hebrew children going into the promise and them saying, we don't need Reuben and Gad. Let them go back across the water and get into the... No. We're going to need to fight so everybody can get in their spot.
Right.
But if you remove yourself from the rest of the body that's helping you fight, it's like when we're talking about these pathogens and when we're talking about all these things you were talking about earlier about the immune system and all of that. There are things that are designed in the body to help your body fight off certain things. It can't just go and be a standalone, because on its own, it will not be able to fight or to combat the things that the body is dealing with. But as a unit, as a whole, along with the other fighter cells, along with the other blood cells that are necessary, the white blood cells that are necessary to fight against those pathogens or those viruses or whatever, then it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's effective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that the Father is desiring in this season, is to call his sons back into fellowship. I don't know why these people are so ready to run back into church buildings, Apostle. It's the wildest thing to me. And it goes back to that thing about people being in this mindset. There's nothing wrong with having services if that's what you're called to. But I'm saying they couldn't wait. Like there's no other way to do kingdom. Like there's no other way to do ministry but just to run into a building.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, what were you doing outside of the building? The same thing that you,
right.
So you were doing the same thing outside the building that you were doing inside the building. You just turned Periscope, Facebook, or whatever into that platform, and you were still siphoning from the people and not giving anything.
Right. Right.
It's wild.
Yep. Anytime there's something like this, there's benefits that can come out of just about anything. So there's been some resets. I think there's when things start to open back up, however they open back up, especially in Michigan. But I think we're gonna have to force a few things.
We are going to. We're gonna have to do that.
I'm meditating and praying about when to open services up again. But I didn't shut down because of this. I've been shut down for a couple of years because
this didn't have nothing to do with
that. Was time for me to take a break. Nothing to do with COVID.
Period.
But so I've been we haven't held services in a couple of years, but I've been talking with the Lord and talking with different people, and I said, you know what, it's getting time to start back up because there's a lot of hungry people around me. Just because I haven't been having services doesn't mean I haven't been, you know, pouring into people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mhm. Yeah, because that's still necessary. That's still necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So listen, we are
absolutely
excited to have these conversations with you, and understand we'll probably be saying and touching on some subjects that are really sensitive to a lot of people over these next 11 broadcasts. But I'm going to say this to you. Those that have ears to hear will be able to hear, and those that have ears to hear and hear will be able to adhere to what the Father is saying. It's really going to be the only way you're going to make it in these times, is to be able to not only to hear, but to be able to adhere to what the Father is saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. These instructions that he's going to give, the instructions that he's speaking through dream, through vision, through prophetic word, through the history of us and having these conversations with the Father, the things that we have viewed and seen in our dream and our vision years past are now, we're seeing the puzzle pieces that are all fitting together, making this picture that he's been revealing to us all of this time. We still haven't left off from the Joseph thing. We're still on that, Apostle Jerry and I.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys remember, we were on that several years ago, 3 years ago to be exact, was when we first started having that conversation. And oddly enough, I'm sort of sensing that we're in the third year of the 7 years of plenty, Apostle. And that's funny to me because that was literally 3 years ago that we were having a conversation. And we weren't necessarily sure whether we had stepped into that or not, you know, at the time,
right,
or what the timing was, but we're growing in the understanding. As the Father's revealing certain things to his sons, we're becoming aware of some, and there are things that he didn't want us to know, like right offhand, okay, you're in the first year of this, because how he does time is not the same way that we view time. He views time via measurement as far as weight. We do it in length, you know. He does wait. Okay, there's a fullness of this. This is full. Now let's move on to the next thing. You know, like how you bag up your produce.
Yep.
You put it on the scale, you weigh it, and you put it in the bag once you've reached the weight, the fullness of the weight that you're trying to get to that you're going to purchase. You know, and that's how the Father sees time. He sees it completely different than us. So he doesn't often give us or always give us that, okay, you're in the first year. You're in the second year. Why doesn't he do that? Because he's leading us. As we're moving along in the thing that he's calling us to, he's leading us. He's not giving us every play, okay, this is the second year, this is the third year. But then you'll wake up and you're like, oh, wow, he's been leading us all this time, and now we're in this place. Now there's clarity for where we're located. Why? Because, one, we are mature enough to handle where we're located now. You know, maybe that information up front might have been something that might have caused us to go into a frenzy or a panic trying to prepare. You know, it just, it all depends. Yep. And this is what we're talking about. I was talking to my people about this last week, and then we're going to let you guys go shortly. Relationship is not rigid like that. You know, real couples
right.
don't put sex on a calendar. I know that seems like it's so outside of what we're talking about, but it's not. You know, couples that are passionately in love with each other don't calendar sex. They don't. You know, babe, on Monday, I'm looking at my calendar. On Monday, the 25th can be our next encounter. What?
What?
No, that's not how that works. Not how that works. No. Relationship produces certain things. It produces passion.
Yep.
Okay. And what this consecration is about reproducing the passion of the relationship between you and the Father so that you can produce the thing in the earth that he's purposed you for. You know, without
yep.
purpose, you have no reason to be a person. And so the thing that you've been contended with your whole life is your purpose, because the adversary knows the only reason for your personhood is your purpose. The only reason
yep.
why you're alive. The only reason. Apostle, you got anything you want to share with the people before we turn them loose tonight?
Not really. Just seek to find your authentic self. Look yourself in the mirror and go, am I truly seeking to be who I was really created to be? That's what look up the word righteousness in the Greek, and you'll find out the root of that word means the state or condition of him who is as he ought to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to truly operate in righteousness, you will be in the state or condition of that you're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
And so it's that's the thing that we want to do, is find out who really am I, and
yeah.
what am I supposed to be doing, and
yeah.
you know what, we don't have it all figured out, but push through to find out who you really are. That's what's most
yeah.
important. And this consecration, mm-hmm. there's times when the Lord will set you apart from things so that you can discover different
mm-hmm.
facets of who you were really created to be.
Wow. That's powerful, because, I mean, that's actually something that I'm very practically going through in this time. You know, those processes are real. He'll allow something to be a pressure to you so that it produces
yep.
something, you know. He'll allow it to be a pressure so that it reveals something about you, you know. And so,
yep.
Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for the word that you share with us, very practical word tonight. We thank you for the revelation and the wisdom that you're giving us in this season to come into the consecration that you're calling us into, and to identify that it's your instruction that's going to get us to where you're calling us to, not our own ideas, not our own concepts, not the myths and all of the limitations that men have put on us, not the rigidity of the religion, but it's the relationship
mm-hmm.
that you're calling us into that's going to actually produce something mighty in the earth. You're actually calling your sons to finish a work. And the master was
right.
that blueprint. He was the one that went before us. He was the prototype for what sonship is supposed to be in its fulfillment. And so we're thankful tonight that in this consecrated time that you're going to begin to reveal to us the master on a new level, so we can see what that blueprint looks like and begin to walk in those dimensions that we have seen and both heard and both seen. We've seen it. We've
yeah.
heard it. We've experienced it by the power of your Holy Spirit, whether through dreams and visions. Father, you're calling us into this place to produce something. You're calling us into this place to produce something. And we're thankful tonight for the position that you're calling us into, that we might fulfill all that you have called us to do. This is your purpose
yep.
and this is your will. We declare that your kingdom come and that your will be done in the earth, even as you've already decreed it so in the heavens. We're thankful for that tonight, and we declare it done.
Amen.
We're excited, guys, that you were with us tonight. We're going to talk about Genesis 11 on Wednesday a little bit, too. That's one of our key verses. Nothing they imagine will be impossible, and this is one of the reasons why we want to deal with the mind as it pertains to the consecration, because how you're thinking is what you're producing. Yeah, how you're thinking is what you are producing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. I've got some stories about that, just recent stories, and I'm putting that on the thing so that when I go back and listen to this, I'll remember to bring those things to bear in the next conversation, you know, but how the Father really just took a hold of a mindset and said, you know what, I've got some things I need you to see. You know, you've been missing this. This conversation and from this perspective was given to you. And, I, you know, like when he asked me, like, where'd you get that from? I didn't even know what to say. I was like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know, you know. But when I leaned into something that he spoke to me that was foreign to me in another season, now I'm looking at the produce of what he's actually called me into. And now it makes sense, you know. If
yep.
I'm looking at it through my own lenses, then that's not, I'm not set apart, you know, I'm actually just doing it my way, but to be set apart, to come away from my own concepts and ideas is now producing something that's greater than what I could have imagined. That's
right.
Greater than what I could have even imagined, Apostle. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the
Absolutely.
Wonders. We're on the road to wonders. I love consecration. I love this conversation because it really positions us for what the Father really wants to do. You know, that consecrated
mm-hmm.
place is a place of conversation, and it's a place of manifestation. That's all he's looking for, some son that he can communicate with. Is that you? I don't care where you're listening to us from in the world. We know that we've got a lot of people that listen to us from across the waters. We're excited to have you here with us, and we'd love for more of you to come online with us because there are times when we like to answer questions and all of that good stuff. You guys see the number. The guest calling is 515-605-9813 for those of you who will be listening to the replay in various places on different platforms. Again, it's 515-605-9813. We'll be here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 p.m., and we're going to be having conversations about consecration. Next week, Apostle Jeremy and I are going to have some more people on. You know, I'm going to bring some other leaders on. We're going to just have some conversations about this because I think that this is really pertinent to where we are located on the Father's calendar. And if you don't have these things, these very basic tenets down, then you're going to be in a world of trouble as these winds begin to blow that you're not familiar with.
Amen.
There are winds blowing right now
yep.
that you're not familiar with, but there are more winds. This is a basic wind. Yeah, COVID. Yeah, I'm not going to get into much conversation about it tonight, but that's a basic win.
Mm-hmm.
That's a basic win, and many people are not successful or succeeding in that. And to go back to something that you said, Apostle, about the heat, you know, that thing is also about the energy because the sun is an energy source. And this is why they said go in your house. Go inside.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, they didn't want you outside. They don't want you around other people where we build up our immunity. They don't want you, you know, 6 feet is what they've scientifically figured out is the distance that we need to be apart from each other to not have our spirits commingle.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. There's a force field around each of us. There's an energy field around all of us. And when we're in each other's space, those fields are mingling.
Yep.
They are mingling. And I know that sounds like the strangest thing coming from people that have a biblical basis because biblical people don't talk like this, according to, you know,
my spirit's not contained within my body. It's you know, whatever term you want to use, it's your aura, your essence.
People
it's
say
that,
all kinds of things.
You just said,
absolutely.
Yeah, whatever. The idea is it's that your spirit
it's
is not contained within your body.
That's right. It's
and when
real.
You get around
it's
people,
alive.
You can read their spirit. But we got to stay 6 feet apart.
Of course. Because we don't want you guys to entertain or even commingle, like you said, Apostle, and possibly or potentially figure us out.
Well, take note of that for next time, Apostle
for
Crystal,
Wednesday.
Because
yes.
that is a
That's
false
good.
Consecration, a false separation.
It is, sir.
That whole COVID thing is a false.
See how he just led us right into that? That's not on the notes. I wasn't even considering that. But you see how he just led us right in? He leads us into those places of truth, you know? And this is what's necessary for us to be sustained in this season.
Yeah, we're separate together.
Yes.
We're socially distanced. It's all garbage.
Yes. It's all garbage.
I got stronger words, but
yes,
this Monday night.
We do have stronger words, but we're going to refrain because Blog Talk, this particular platform, may not be able to sustain those other colorful conversations.
I'll say garbage. I'll say garbage.
Garbage. It's crap.
I'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, be good about this crap. We have here with us tonight. We are on consecration, the road to wonders. And I am excited about what the Father desires to do in the sons in this season. How about you? Listen, until the next time we meet,
Amen.
We want you to know that you're blessed and we don't want you to forget it. But before I leave, I must give you the mantra for the century. This is my mantra for the century. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. Catch that vision, y'all.
Right.
All right. We love you now.
Amen.
Peace.
All right.